How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. One in five people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
5, 6, 7, 8, Stassi. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Know More to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
How does it feel now that we're back to school?
You know, it feels great, actually.
Feels the same, huh?
It does. I have a jar of pencils behind me now.
Yes, you do. You're very, very collegiate. Very academic.
Yeah. I got a little Chilton scrunchie. It's approved.
Fine.
They let me use it. But yeah, you never know when you'll need a pencil.
Yeah.
To quote Mitch Hunsberger.
It's true. And we're going to get more into that next week. But for now, we're in the early months of September. It's chilly here in New York City today when we're recording this. I had like a nice chill in the air. It was like high 50s, low 60s. And I got to walk through the park in my sweatshirt and my sweatpants. It was just, it was lovely.
Oh my God. Can't relate.
I know. I wish you could relate. I wish that for you much.
I think it's going to be 90 degrees like normal here today.
Oh my gosh. That's the thing.
Fall in your heart.
We started posting our, you know, Gilmore Girls content on September 1st. And a lot of people were like, I can't deal with this yet because it's still 80, 90, 100 degrees where I am. And
but what's the temperature in your head?
Exactly.
It's a crisp weather 50 in my mind.
Sweater weather.
Thank you.
Actually, speaking of sweater weather, I got this very cute like short sleeve sweater, which I think is a really good transitional piece. I got it at Housing Works the other day and I was like, oh it's perfect.
Really?
It's only $15. Queen. It's cashmere.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I know.
No, I'm dressed a little bit like Chessie today.
You're giving Chessie from Parent Trap. Did I tell you I watched that on the plane back from LA? I like did half of it on the way there, half of it on the way back.
Love.
Good times. I love that movie. What a great movie. Feel good.
Such a good movie. That's not what we're here to talk about today, though.
Contrary to popular belief, we are not a Parent
Trap
podcast.
Speaking of travel.
Speaking of travel.
We are traveling again.
We are. So the girlies are going to Michigan. We're going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is really exciting.
I've never been.
Neither have I. I am so excited. We are going to be a part of Stars Hollow Saturday, which is hosted by Rock, Paper, Scissors in Ann Arbor. Our friend Lisa reached out to us and was like, hey, we'd love to partner together. And we were like, okay, let's do it.
Because she said it was like, she offered us up some options and she was like, an in-person event would be like my dream, and like us too, let's go.
Yeah,
we're like, so we are starting the day with coffee with Gilmore to Say. Mm-hmm. You buy a ticket for $20 and coffee's included, and so is a conversation with us.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
We hope that's the highlight, but you'll get coffee.
But you also get coffee. That's the incentive as well. And it's a whole day. Yeah. It's a whole day dedicated to just keeping those Gilmore Girls vibes alive. We've never been, so we can't necessarily speak to what the exact experience is gonna be, but based on what they've shared online, Stars Hollow Saturday, which is Saturday, October 5th, is gonna be just
the Gilmore Girls anniversary.
I know, it's so
we
cool.
We could spend that with our besties when they come have coffee with us.
And they're basically turning everything into kind of like a little mini Stars Hollow, which sounds like a lot of fun. So,
and there's, I believe that you can get like a little passport and get stamps throughout all of the like pretend Stars Hollow as you go throughout your day. But it is from 9 to 9. Our event, the coffee event, is at 9 a.m.
You're gonna be part of the 9 a.m. crowd, just like us.
The 9 a.m. crowd. We'll show up in our eye patches still. Like it'll be early morning, but we will wake up with a jolt with coffee and hopefully chatting with us as well. We'll be
coffee
a little jolt,
but
we'll play games as we always do. We'll have a fun conversation. We definitely want y'all to be a part of it, the conversation itself, because 9 a.m. leading a conversation, we'll see how it goes, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wish us luck.
But also on the Thursday before, so this is taking place on Saturday, October 5th, on the Thursday evening before, we are going to be hosting Rock, Paper, Scissors Virtual Trivia Night,
yes.
Gilmore Girls Trivia specifically.
Yes.
So you can go to rockpaperscissors.com, I believe. We'll put all this in the show notes and get tickets to that and get tickets to our show. I'm really excited. I'm like,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
I never thought to go to Michigan before until Lisa reached out to us, and now I'm so excited.
And she says that Ann Arbor is really cute in the fall. So
that's what I've heard. Because isn't Ann Arbor a college town?
It is. It's University of Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, fun. My mom's from Michigan. She was telling me all about it.
Oh, so cool. Yeah. A lot of theater people are, you know, studied at University of Michigan. It's a huge, has a huge theater program, musical theater specifically. And so I know a lot of people who have gone there and really loved their time there. So I'm excited to explore the town. It's going to be fun.
I think we'll have a lot of fun. I'll make friendship bracelets again, of course.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's going to be great. We hope you can join us if you're in, you know, anywhere in the area. Even if you're not, come on out. It's going to be fun because it's not just about us. There's also going to be a whole event there as well. So it's going
to
be great.
And I'm excited for the event. Like, I'm excited to, like, have, like, a whole Stars Hollow day because, like usually at our events, we just meet our listeners. But, like, I'm excited to meet other Gilmore Girls fans, too, to branch out and to meet our listeners, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait. Also, some exciting news, our Fall Gazebo dropped again today.
She got a refresh.
Updated Fall Gazebo. She's got some new little fun Easter eggs in her that I'm really excited about. Of course, props to Emily Kelly, E. Kelly Designs, who always does our gazebos. We love her.
It was so perfect because we kind of just sent her over, like, here's a list of things that we want to add to, like, make her real fall explosion, if you will.
Yeah.
And she nailed it almost on the first try.
As, like, she does
completely
every time. But what's really cool is that we also released a t-shirt today that is of the four gazebos, all four of them in a row, now that they've all been released. Now, you are going to get a little preview of what our winter gazebo looks like because we also updated that one.
We did.
That will be released later this year on its own.
In the winter.
But we have a winter, spring, summer, fall gazebo t-shirt, which is very cool.
Yeah. And I like them all four in a row. They look so cute. Little
all next
mini
to each
versions.
Other. Yeah. So cute.
All the friends, all the pals.
Yeah.
The year in, a year in the life, if you will.
It's true.
Of the gazebo itself.
So now you can have all the gazebos on your t-shirt. If you couldn't choose just one, or even if you did choose one of every one, you can have all four of them. You can have them all.
All at once.
But speaking of having it all, sometimes you can't have it all, which is the title of Stassi Schroeder's book that came out today, September 10th. Stassi is our guest on today's episode. We were so excited to talk to her a couple months ago, and we're excited to finally release this episode. For those of you who may not know her, she, of course, introduces herself in our conversation, but Stassi was on the show Vanderpump Rules, which is a reality TV show on Bravo, and we were so lucky to sit down and have a conversation with her because she released this book, You Can't Have It All, today. And it talks a lot about motherhood, girlhood, girl boss culture, how women specifically...
Kind of the death of the girl boss.
Yeah. And how women specifically have been, you know, very overwhelmed by a lot of the pressures that have been put on them by society to have it all, to be the kind of woman who balances everything so seamlessly and perfectly. And she talks about the journey through having her second child, where she watched Gilmore Girls for the first time. So Gilmore Girls is talked about, and other women in pop culture are also talked about a lot.
Yeah,
in her book.
That was my favorite thing about the book, is how many pop culture references there are.
Yeah,
because, like, it's not necessarily a book that feels like Gilmore Girls, but it's really just about Stassi having kids, as well as, like, redefining what it all really means now.
Yeah.
In, I guess, after the pandemic, everyone's lives sort of shifted and what their priorities were. But she makes so many pop culture references, so many TV show references.
Yeah.
That, like, that felt very, like, familiar if you... Of course, like, Gilmore Girls, what are you doing here? If you don't like Gilmore Girls, I don't know.
I don't know.
But Stassi really loves Gilmore Girls. And that's how I found her. That's what I mentioned in this episode, is, like, I didn't really watch reality TV. I didn't know who she was until someone sent me a video of her talking about Gilmore Girls. And I love that was my introduction to her.
Totally. Yeah, she's fun. I've never watched Vanderpump Rules, but everybody who I spoke to in my immediate circles when I told them she was coming on the podcast was like, oh my God, you're going to love her. And I did. She's so down to earth. She's so real.
She's so fun. She's so funny.
So much fun. She's hilarious. And you can hear her voice really presently throughout her book, even if you don't know her. Once you meet her, you're like, oh,
yes.
So hear
this
it.
Conversation with her is what it's like to read her book. It's just funny and heartwarming and just as lovely as she is.
So let's have a conversation with Stassi Schroeder.
Let's.
Stassi, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to Gilmore to Say. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, I am so excited. Let's Gilmore girls the fuck out of life right now.
Let's do it every day.
Oh my God. We are so excited to talk to you about Gilmore Girls. We're so excited to talk to you about your book, which is called You Can't Have It All. And it comes out today. How do you feel? Your book is released.
I feel like finally. I know. Finally. Like, yes.
What a labor of love.
No, it like really is. It's like writing a book is, it's a lot. It's hard. And like, even when you're done, it's like you're not then fully done because then you got to wait for it to come out and then talk about all the things all over again. Mm-hmm. So I've just been itching for this moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like having like your fifth child, it feels like.
It is like a child.
The world.
It is.
Yeah. Now you have to usher her into the world and show her off.
Show her off. You know, get her an Instagram page.
Yeah.
True. Honestly, exactly. You might as well. So you talk about a lot in your book. You cover everything from girl boss culture to mom guilt. You even talk about fictional and non-fictional characters who've kind of circulated those topics. And you also talk about Gilmore Girls, which of course we will get into. But before we do, for anybody who may not be familiar with you and kind of your rise to fame and what led you to this book, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Stassi Schroeder. I was on a reality TV show called Vanderpump Rules for like 8 years. So all my 20s were on a reality show. And I started a podcast 8 years ago, was called Straight Up with Stassi. Now is just called Stassi. Because, you know, just like one name.
Yeah, like share.
Who needs anything else? I have a podcast with my husband called The Good, The Bad, The Baby. And this is my third book. And it's called You Can't Have It All, because I, you know, over the years, I've realized that I just write about what's top of mind, like what the theme of my life is. You know, my first book was Next Level Basic, and it was just like a basic bitch handbook. Mm. And then my second book was Off With My Head, where, you know, I felt like I went through a bit of a rough time in 2020, and most of us did. And so that's what that was about. And what's been top of mind for me over the last few years is just the fact that I feel, and not just me, when I talk to other women, I feel like we're exhausted and we're all told and made to feel like we have to be operating at 100% in every single thing that we do. And it's just like not the vibe. I say it here now. No, yeah. Like it's not the vibe. And that is what this book is about.
I love it. Yeah. I had to reread the title a couple times because I was like, I feel like we've just been told we can have it all for so long that I was like, right? You can't have it all.
It's a little aggressive. It's a little mean.
No,
it's
I love it.
How dare I tell you that you can't have it all? But yeah. I explain that like once you let go of the idea of having it all, like you lead a much happier life. Like, you know, the middle is sometimes the sweetest spot. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I love that the title basically translates to you can not have it all and still be happy.
Yes.
What I loved, like we're going to get into in a moment, you know, all the things that we loved about this book because it's so relatable. When I was reading it, I felt like I was talking to a friend, like a friend just giving me advice. And
that's what I love so much about the book. Yeah. It's like it really does feel like you're just talking to me. Like yeah, I feel like you just like were texting me this book and it was just like such in like your authentic voice, which is what I really love.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
It's so true. I could hear your voice through the book and it was what was so relatable about it is – so many things, but one of the things that really resonated with me was that I feel like society has kind of trained women specifically, but all of us in society, to believe that being content is synonymous with settling. Mm-hmm. And being content is really just that. It stands on its own. You can just be happy with what you have. And you don't have to always think about what's coming next. And I think
we don't always have to be that. Getting more, doing more, accomplishing more, buying more. Like, why the more all the time? Like, one of my least favorite questions to be asked in interviews is like, so what else are you working on? Why? I'm doing a lot right now. And that question always just made me feel like, oh, I should be doing something else also. And so then I had this constant feeling that I should just always be adding something else to my plate. And I just didn't like living that way.
Yeah. Because you want to answer like, I'm working on my sleep schedule, but then you seem like lazy.
I'm working on my third rewatch of Gilmore Girls, but that's about it right now.
Yeah.
I don't remember where the quote came from, but it was something along the lines of like women were told they could be anything, but most of us heard we had to be everything. And ooh. I think that that is really what is reflected in this book, is that like it's exhausting to try and be everything or to even want everything. Like, I don't want that. I want to take a lot of naps is what I want. And that to me is everything. And I like that you kind of like redefined what it all is, because I, one of my favorite things is you talk about how like younger you would not read this book. Like no. She would just like she'd throw away. Yeah, exactly. Me. And it's just like the evolution of what having it all really means. And it's like, you can't have it all in the sense of like what everyone else wants you to have, but like what you can have is what is enough for you, which is, I feel like, what is like pervaded through the book.
Thank you. I hope so. I just feel like when you do stereotypically, I guess, have it all, think about it. If you're exceeding in everything that you do, that's kind of a whirlwind situation. You don't have time to like sit back and enjoy the little wins or the little, you know, gorgeous parts of life, like literally just like having your iced coffee in the morning. You don't really appreciate like the small things, because everything is just winning and great and awesome and everything's going well. I just think that, you know, striving for excelling in everything all at the same time, it's pointless. It like really is.
It's also overwhelming. It's exhausting. It is so overwhelming. And it just, we already have enough anxiety with what's going on in the world. And especially during the pandemic, I feel like the pandemic really shifted our perspective on what success meant for a lot of people. Anybody who is existing in the show business atmosphere, which all three of us were, you know, that came to a breaking point. And it was, a lot of us had to figure out, what's next? What does it mean when I don't have all of those things vibrating at a high frequency in front of me? What does just existing look like? And who am I when I'm just existing?
That was one of the biggest wake-up calls for me, because my whole life I've tied my self-worth with how much I'm accomplishing and how much I'm working. Like, the more I work, the more I do, the better I feel about myself. Yeah. And then in 2020, we weren't allowed to do any of that. So what happens when the thing that makes you feel good about yourself is no longer an option? Mm. And that's, I feel like, what got me here, because I had to just like sit back and be like, well, what does make me feel good about myself? What do I enjoy? What brings me joy? Like, oh my God, am I practicing gratitude now? Holy shit. How did, like, that's how we got here. That's how I got here.
Yeah, 100%. And you also touch on social media being a blessing and a curse. I loved you talking about kind of the spectrum of like relatable content that feels like, oh yes, I totally understand what they're saying. Like, I feel the exact same way. And also like fantasy content where you just want to mindlessly scroll through things that just feel like kind of this unattainable ideal. And I love that, because it's so accurate. When I scroll through TikTok and Instagram Reels and just Instagram in general, it can be like a vortex that really sucks you in, and like comparison is the thief of joy. It can really like get you down. Also, like doom scrolling is a thing. But then there's also just this really nice, peaceful place where it's like relatable content and just content that I know is like mindless and I can just sit there and, watch. It's just spectrum. And I love the way you talk about social media. I love that you say you can look like you have it all with the right filter, because that
is, you just swipe Paris over it. And genuinely, honestly, looks better.
Smooth it all out. I was gonna say, no Botox needed, just swipe on the Paris filter and it's all over. I also love that you say that social media should be viewed as a fictional movie, less a documentary. Less like a docuseries of your life. And when you start to shift your perspective that way, it makes it really important. And social media kind of came to the forefront. Not that it wasn't, but especially during the pandemic, because we didn't have anything else. That was the way that we stayed tethered to our old lives or the people that were in them or people that we weren't seeing. And I do think that it has kind of promoted this idea of like, you still need to be working, 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 hustling, hustling. But I think the pandemic also kind of taught us to slow down. And I think people kind of fall on one side or the other of that spectrum, and the pendulum swings a little bit. But we're all starting to, I think, come to this realization, like, we need to maybe chill out a little bit. And that is something that Haley and I talk a lot about on this podcast. You know, our show is about the comfy. It's about the cozy. It's about like, come escape with us for a little bit, because we just want to sit down and watch Gilmore Girls, this show that makes you feel like you're being wrapped in a hug. And I think that's why we've built such a really strong community of women, is because they're like, yes, this is my comfort food too. Let's talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. And lean in. lean in.
Yeah, lean in.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people went through the same thing that like all of us did from like 2020, where like we were very like achievement like based, and mm-hmm. like that's where our self-worth came from, and like we felt certain ways, but we never like stopped to think about, do we want to feel this way?
Right.
Like, and like when it's all taken away or like it's all paused, you have to sit with your feelings. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to wake up every day feeling anxious to go to work because something's going to go wrong and it's going to impact how I feel for the next month for this like one thing at work that really has no bearing on who I am as a person. And so when we, all of that is taken away and we have to like sit with our feelings, it's like, yeah, I just want to be cozy. I just want to be comfortable.
I think it's,
I want
just,
everything to feel good.
Yeah. It's just about recognizing that like, okay, we've been taught to be girl bosses. We've been taught to exceed everything, to have everything we want, that we can accomplish anything. But do we want to? Do I want to? I'm not sure I want to.
And like, why don't you want to? Yeah. It's okay if like sometimes you want to, but sometimes you don't. Like, it's yes. okay if you're in that place. I love that when you start to talk about like the girl boss, which you really start your book off strong with. I love that that was kind of what you hit us with on the outset. It was just like, hey, let's talk about girl, the girl boss culture. Where'd that go? Remember that time?
Yeah.
Go back to that
time.
It
went to Etsy.
It totally went to Etsy.
It did. And it's one of those things where I mean, I similarly to you have always tethered my self-worth to the things that I'm doing, the projects that I'm a part of. So Haley and I are both, you mentioned that you're a musical theater girl. We also are theater girlies. I also went to school for acting, but both of us worked on Broadway, which is how we connected. We were on TikTok talking about, we were both talking about Gilmore Girls, which is how
we
met.
Yeah, we both had Gilmore Girls TikTok accounts, and that's how we met.
Yeah.
Oh my, but two Broadway girls with Gilmore Girls TikToks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't know each other?
No idea.
That's
we worked
cool.
like 10 blocks away and never met until TikTok.
That's incredible.
But it wasn't like we really connected when we found out that we had both worked on Broadway, because I'd posted about coming back to my show and she was like, wait, do you work on Broadway? And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, so did I. And I was like, oh, I love you even more
now. Yeah, it was like
now.
That one click of like, oh, you're not a weirdo. Like, I can actually connect with you. You're a real person.
Okay. Actually, no, you are a weirdo. We can connect with each other.
Which we quickly realized.
Yes. And then it was like, do you want to start a podcast together? And she was like, yeah. We didn't know each other. We didn't even meet until 8 months into doing the show together, because we just like want to talk about Gilmore Girls and build a community. And we trusted each other very blindly. And here we are.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love
that. Theater really brings
that.
People together.
Yeah, seriously.
It does.
Wow.
But you're a musical theater girly. So tell me about your history.
I mean, I've never been on Broadway, and I'm
that's
like,
okay.
Not, I just appreciate musical theater. I was president of my drama club in high school.
Hell
does that
yeah.
count?
That totally counts.
100%. Yeah, I'm just a fan. I'm a fan. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's a business that like keeps people together. But again, a business that when it broke, when like everything kind of fell apart during the pandemic, a lot of people in the industry were like, what do I do next? And when Haley and I decided to start this podcast together, like, we are girl bosses. We're girls, we're bosses, but we're also very tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we've everything that you were talking about in your book about maintaining that energy while also releasing a lot of the pressure that comes that accompanies being a girl boss was really important, because we have talked about it so much. So Haley actually ended up leaving New York and moving home to Georgia to be with her family. And I did the same during the pandemic. I went back to Connecticut to be with my family, but then I came back to New York. And so we've both kind of witnessed each other in these two very different lives while we are doing the same thing, this podcast and building this business together. Whereas like she has really cultivated and promoted, especially in her social media posts, like the art of being a soft girl. And I have been thrown back into this idea of like, you know, New York City is a hustle. It's always a hustle, mm-hmm. whether you're walking through the park or like going to work, it's a hustle. And I now kind of long for that life that I had during the pandemic, where it was very soft. Whereas when I had it during the pandemic, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get back to my life where I can like do and not sit.
I know. We always want what's not happening at the moment.
No, but it was a bit like when you mentioned cottagecore in your book. Like, you're like, I want it like part of the year and then I want to come back to my life.
Yeah, like I can't fully commit.
Yeah,
I know. I can't.
I just kind of want
the
to.
Dresses. Like, it just seems exhausting to get dressed that way every day. But I feel like I'm more, I lean, if it's a spectrum, I lean more towards like wanting more cottagecore. I feel like Tara like maybe sits more in the middle. And that's kind of how I like started thinking about it. I'm like, are you fully cottagecore? Are you fully trying to like reintegrate into girl boss culture?
Yeah, it's a spectrum.
I also like how you, yeah, it's a weird spectrum.
I know a lot of you besties are romance readers like me. And let me ask you, is there anything better than when the next book in a series you love is finally released? For me, that is The Davenport's More Than This by Crystal Marquis. This is the much anticipated sequel of The Davenports, which was an instant New York Times bestseller. I loved The Davenports. It was giving Will They or Won't They Bridgerton vibes, so of course opulent historical drama with leading ladies and their dashing suitors, grand balls, and drama. You know I love the drama. All set in 1910 Chicago with a wealthy black family, the Davenports. And I love that the author's inspiration for the Davenports was a real family, the daughters of C.R. Patterson, who was a carriage manufacturer in the early 1900s. And I can confirm The Davenports More Than This continues the story you fell in love with, or will fall in love with if you haven't started yet, as we pick back up with Ruby, Olivia, Amy Rose, and Helen as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and, of course, in love. As the drama heats up in the summer of 1910, you'll find these young black women meeting new faces and facing new trials that change their lives and hearts in ways they couldn't have imagined. If you've read The Davenports, you know you want to pick this up immediately, and if you have not yet read this series, this is the perfect time of year to settle into a story that you won't want to leave. You can buy your copies at The Davenports by Crystal Marquis and its sequel, The Davenports More Than This, wherever books are sold.
Haley, do you like free stuff?
I do like free stuff.
Well, then you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with every purchase.
We have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year.
If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone.
You are not. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body.
Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, managing stress, balancing hormones, improving your mood, feeling refreshed, all in one bottle.
When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded.
Right now, for the entire month of November, Buy Optimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are having a Black Friday blowout sale on all of their products.
All month long, you will get discounts with our unique code, plus access to up to $100 in free gifts with purchase.
This is the best time to stock up and take advantage of all the free extras you're going to get. You can only get this exclusive deal through our link for our Gilmore to Say audience only. You won't find this on Amazon or even on the company website. So go to buyoptimizers.com/moretosay and use code moretosay to get your discount and free gifts today.
And one last thing, you should know all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked.
Again, the link to go to right now for this exclusive deal is buyoptimizers.com/moretosay.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
But I also like how you talk about how like the death of the girl boss was really positive because it like really represented like a toxic culture that just like kind of like prevented people from like, I guess like advocating for themselves because they felt like what everyone else was doing was right. And then it became like an Etsy mug. But the idea of it is still good.
The idea of a girl boss, of course, is still, it's still a good thing. Like we all, yeah, like ambitious women who like want to be in charge of their lives and take care of shit, like that's something to be admired and to strive for. And like, yes, of course. I think the idea of like the stereotypical girl boss, the way that I'm talking about it, was like this phenomenon where like you had to fit this like perfect image of what the girl boss was, you know? Yeah.
Like I love you gave her her outfit, like the blazer. Oh.
Yeah, red the blazer, the Gucci belt, like yeah, loafers, like red lipstick for like a pop of color. You know what I mean? Like it's, there was just this like, this image of this girl, this millennial woman who had started her own business, you know, from the ground up, and she was the face of the business, and, you know, she had to do the social media post, and she, you know, it was that. And the fact that it was just such a specific idea of what it means to be a girl boss, where technically a doctor is a girl boss too, but that wasn't the image that we were being fed. So it was the death of that stereotypical girl boss.
Yes. Yeah. You know? And the rise of a girl boss who can also take a nap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you talk about the return of like girlhood too, which is like, that's really like what I feel like brought all of us together, is just that love of like something that's like comfortable, that like we can just be really enthusiastic about in the same way that we were when we were kids.
Yes. Like Gilmore Girls.
Like Gilmore Girls. Which is exactly how we connected. Like during the pandemic, I started talking about Gilmore Girls on a whim. So did Haley. And it was just kind of like, oh, there's this whole community of people who also love this thing. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the nitty gritty of it, which is what we talk about on this podcast, which is a lot of fun.
You know what's funny though is I don't watch reality TV, so I had never really heard about you before, but someone tagged me, and I don't remember if it was a reel or an Instagram, of you talking about either you're about to start watching Gilmore Girls or you had just started, and they were like, oh my God, you should have her on the podcast. I was like, who is this beautiful woman? And so then I like looked you up and I was like, oh wow, she's like a full like celebrity person. I thought you were just like a podcaster who was just like chatting about Gilmore Girls. And so that was actually my first introduction to you, was you watching Gilmore Girls.
Okay, so that was recent, because so I, first of all, I can't believe that I didn't watch it in high school. Like, what the fuck was I doing in high school? Like,
yeah, what was I was so curious to know, because you mentioned that you started watching it when you were pregnant with your second child.
Yes.
What do you think? First of all, tell me your thoughts. Like, give me the rundown of your thoughts.
Well, it's like, where do I begin? Okay, like I don't know. I don't.
I know, right? Where do we even start?
Like, I'm embarrassed that I didn't see this in high school. I don't know what I was doing. I was you know, being my theater president.
She was a theater girl.
I didn't have time, I guess.
Yeah.
But people had always told me, like, once a year, once fall rolls around, there's always someone who's like, you need to watch Gilmore Girls. Like, you would really love it. Like, everything about it, you would love it. I'm like, yeah, but there's like 8 seasons and it's like from so long ago. So
it
like
feels I feel daunting. Yeah,
it does. And I was just like, if I didn't watch it then, why would I watch it now? I don't know. I never came around to it. And then when I was pregnant with Messer, my son, I was like, my second baby, I was like, okay, so I know I'm going to have some downtime after this baby. I'm going to be on the couch. What is the show that I'm going to watch while my baby's a newborn? And I thought about it a lot. I asked around and people are like, well, what do you want your vibe to be? I'm like, well, it's going to be September. Even though it's going to be hot as fuck outside still, I would like it to feel like fall. I want to light my pumpkin candles. I want to drink my, you know, autumn Starbucks coffees. I want to snuggle with my baby, put my air conditioning on really, really high, and like wear sweaters. And I just want to feel cozy and good. And everyone said to me, Gilmore Girls, Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, nothing better.
I started it right before I gave birth. Oh my God. Maybe the best show, one of the best shows ever created.
Ever.
I'm like, how have I not seen this before? It was, yeah life-changing. And then I finished it all within a matter of months. Yeah.
I love the part we're talking about how you were watching it when you inevitably were about to give birth to your son, and that the nurses asked you if you had laughed, and like the baby just kind of came out because it was so easy. I don't want to say easy. It was very fast.
It was very different from my first. It was like my contractions and like all of that came on so fast and so hard that by the time I got to the hospital, like he was ready to come out, and I just like didn't realize that. So I had gotten my iPad out thinking, you know, like, oh, I just got the epidural now. So like, fine. I can relax. I can watch Gilmore Girls. And then all of a sudden I'm like, feels like a little aliens trying to get out of there. Can someone go check? Can someone check? And sure enough, he was literally about to come out. So yeah.
Do you remember what episode it was? Yeah. Do you remember what episode it was?
No. Oh, I don't. You guys, there's too many. There's no way.
Gosh, there's so many. But my question for you is, upon watching it for the first time and then like kind of really getting to know the show, what do you think high school Stassi would have thought of the show? Like, do you think she would have had different thoughts? Do you think she would have been like tethered to different characters?
Yeah. Yes, 100%. I think she would have really loved Rory as an adult. I don't.
That was going to be another question that I asked, because in your book, you talk about Emily. you talk about Lorelai, but you didn't mention Rory. And I was curious what your thoughts were, because we started watching this at a very young age, you know, middle school, high school. And so, of course, we identified with Rory because she was around our age.
If I watched this in high school, Rory would have been what I aspired to be. She would have been like who I relate to. She would have been on my vision board for everything. Like, she would have shaped my personality. I would be a different person right now if I had watched Gilmore Girls as in high school. Truly. Yeah, I really think
that's
that.
That's why we wanted to ask that, because like Rory like absolutely shaped me. Like, I was like, I'm going to be a journalist. I love to read. I'm going to go to Yale. And those were all original thoughts to me. I didn't realize at the time that I was just like copying, pasting completely from a TV show. Yeah. And she like, I would be a completely different person if like I hadn't just turned on the WB one day.
I think so. I truly believe that. But as an adult watching her, I'm like, oh, pick me, girl. You need like all this like male validation and at the cost of like other women, at the expense of other women. Like, you're making poor decisions all the time. And I just like, what?
Yeah.
I just not the biggest fan of, I love the actress. Like, but
oh, of course. Yeah. So Splatel is great. But you know, it's interesting because a lot of discourse about Rory, especially as women who watched the show when they were younger have grown up, has been that vibe. They're like, wait a minute. I loved Rory Gilmore as a kid. Mm-hmm. Why do I now like look at her and go, what are you doing? And I think that's just, we've changed as a society. We looked at her very differently when we were younger. But I think that it is a testament to the reality that like nobody's perfect. People make mistakes. The writer of the show, Amy Sherman-Palladino, was like, she believes that people are inherently evil and have to have good beaten into them. Like, she likes to write characters that make, I know.
Wow.
She likes to write characters that are very like, you know, they make bad choices and they, you know, in that sense, they then become relatable because we as human beings, of course, are constantly going to make mistakes and poor decisions. It just was a shame when we then got to the revival and Rory hadn't changed or really grown.
That was a missed opportunity. That was a bummer. That felt like the finale episode of Game of Thrones, where it's like, what did you do to this precious catalog of episodes? You just, these characters, you just took a giant poo-poo on it. What was the point of this? Why'd you have to make us all sad? Like, we were rooting for you.
Yeah, we were all rooting for you. Truly. So, to roll it back, what were your initial thoughts about the show? Like, who did you really, really love? Who did you really not love besides Rory? Like, what were your general thoughts?
Well, my favorite is Emily.
Yes, always. You wrote about that in your book. Emily
always
Gilmore.
In forever. I aspire to be her. Like, that, it to me, I could watch any scene. Like, I will never get, I put my phone down for her scenes. Yeah. You know, like, there is no interrupting me with her scenes. I just think that she's just goals. But I think the thing that like really sticks out to me the most with Gilmore Girls is the set. Not to be like boring, but
we talk about
that
all the time.
Okay, the set makes me feel a certain type of way. It just makes me feel happy. Like seeing all of the seasons, especially obviously the fall ones, the holiday ones, like those were obviously like the best. Like that town, just like the way everything about the set just makes me feel good. Like, that's like the main character of the show, in my opinion. Yes,
yeah, it totally really is. It really is. We talk about the town a lot, the townies and the people who make up the town, because those episodes are honestly some of the best episodes when you get a little bit of like that small town, Miss Patty, Babette and Maury, you know, Tom the contractor, like the guys who come in, and even if they just make a brief appearance, it's just the fact that they're there.
Yes, makes you feel it's like so comforting. Home. I looked at Bo like while I was watching, because he got into it. Hartford got into it. She loves singing the main song. Like,
oh, I love that.
Bo's ringtone for me is the Super Mario version of the Gilmore Girls song.
Oh my God, I didn't know that existed.
I didn't even know there was one.
I know, because he's like, he's really into, like, he likes video games. He's like, well, I don't want to just, like, have the Gilmore Girls song playing whenever
Carole King just pops on. Yeah.
He's like, so we made it the Super Mario's version. But I remember looking over at Bo and being like, should we move to a small town? Is that... we're so happy I'm watching this show. Like, is that the life for us? It tricks you.
It does, It does. Because, I mean, I grew up in Connecticut, and I definitely didn't grow up in a small town that was like Stars Hollow. I grew up in a small town, but it wasn't like that. And it's fine. It's good. It's easy. But similarly to what I was talking about before, like, you still long for that life that you have in LA. Like, you cultivated a life somewhere else. And when, and if and when you're ready to go to something like a small town, great. But I think that when you're kind of drawn to that like big city and that life, it can be a really nice escape. I don't know if it's a permanent thing.
For sure. And also like I barely even like go and hang out with my neighbors. Like I like to like keep to myself. So if I was in like a little town where like everyone was just like constantly like knocking on my door, like had access to me, I would freak the fuck out.
Oh yeah.
Like, really. I feel like being in a small town, like in the way that Gilmore Girls, it's kind of like being on reality TV because like with Luke and Lorelai, like in the town meeting, everyone was discussing their relationship and like they had a say on what happened like in the aftermath. So I feel like maybe that's like a little bit of an experience that like you've already had.
Right.
And you've removed yourself from it.
You are so correct. That's exactly what that was like. That was a weird episode too. The fact that the townspeople had so many, I enjoyed it, but like had so many opinions where it's like, where do you get off coming off? What? Yeah, that was strange, but
everybody's
I liked it.
Up in everybody's business.
Yes. And that is like reality TV. Yes. Yeah,
it's true.
But like, see, I put myself in that position. Luke and Lorelai did not. They didn't ask for that. They just wanted to be together.
I know.
Yeah.
Also, Luke is Beau. Like, I'm not joking. Really? What, like, really? They dress alike, which is, like, unfortunate. You know, like, I don't really like shorts and t-shirts.
Can't do anything about it.
Beau wears, like, a backwards or, like, a blue cap all the time. Their vibe is just so similar that it kind of freaks me out. Like, Beau is Luke.
Did he build you an ice skating rink?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well,
I'm going to go upstairs. Beau, if you're listening, you know what you're at. Take notes. Winter is coming. So you talked about Lorelai in your book. And it was very interesting because you put Taylor Swift and Lorelai Gilmore on the same page in your book. Mm-hmm. And that is the perfect description of both personalities of this podcast. We talk about Taylor Swift a lot. The Swiftie Gilmore Girls world has a Venn diagram and the center part is very big. And
it's almost a circle.
Almost a circle, not quite. There are people on the outskirts that are like,
that makes sense.
Not into it, but it like a lot of her lyrics.
No, it actually
put behind,
makes sense.
Like, any scene of Gilmore Girls.
Taylor Swift and Gilmore Girls, they give the same energy. It's just comforting. Yeah. It just feels, they just feel good.
Yeah.
Very emo. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But you had a lot of things to say about Lorelai Gilmore. And so I'm curious if Beau gives off like that Luke aesthetic, have you ever identified with Lorelai, especially being a mom?
Lorelai mess. No, I actually don't. Like, I do when it comes to like, sorry, I'm going to. Yes and no. Let me explain. I do identify with Lorelai in that she's strong-willed and opinionated, and it's kind of like her way or the highway, which she makes the rules. Like she wears the pants. Like that's in the relationship. That's kind of how it is, and that's how I am with Beau. But I don't identify with Lorelai in the way that when I look at her, I think that she like thrives in chaos. I think like that's where she feels comfortable, and she just keeps making the same mistakes over again. And when her life is good, she finds a way to make it bad, or she sees the negative when it's not a negative thing. Like when her parents try to help, she has to always just like assume there's some ulterior motive where maybe her parents just want to help her. And just seeing her, like parents who want to see you all the time, like there are worse things. You know, so like, why are we complaining so much about that? Mm-hmm. I think that I don't think I'm somebody who thrives in chaos. And I don't think I'm somebody who has a good thing and then goes around messing it up. Maybe in my 20s, but not now.
Mm. Yeah. I think she's skeptical of contentment because it really is like when things start to settle down, she's like, oh, let's find,
like,
let's find something from some direction that something's going wrong.
Yeah.
Which
I love Lorelai.
Good drama.
Like I love her. Like I don't like I'm not in love with Rory. I love Lorelai. But I think she's a good example of how you can have a person who has a bunch of flaws and is still so likable. It's like
totally.
Where's Rory's likability, you guys? Where is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really feel like Lorelai's the main character too. Like
I think so, yeah.
Watching it when we were younger, I always thought like, oh, it's like a really like a true balance between them, but it's not. Like we get so much more of Lorelai's life and her feelings and all of that. Because we always talk about the fact that Rory never externalizes her emotions. We never know what she's thinking, which I think kind of makes her a villain because we never know what her intentions are when anything's happening.
Yes, true, true.
And a lot of that really comes to fruition in the relationships she has with Dean, Jess, and Logan. Like, whenever there's any aftermath there, or even sometimes in the midst of it, it's like, Rory, what the fuck are you thinking? What are you feeling? Tell us. Talk to us. But we don't get it. But it kind of leaves a lot of room, and some of our best conversations have come from the speculation of like the what if over a lot of those relationships, especially Jess, because their relationship kind of came to an end, and then there was all this like ambiguity surrounding the ending of it, and like him coming back and being like, I love you, and then asking him to run away with her, and then leaving, and then coming back and being like, why did you drop out of Yale? And like, the community really, really rallies behind Jess because there was so much potential there and so many like unanswered questions that it leaves a lot of room for possibility. But I'm curious to know what your thoughts are, especially someone who didn't necessarily get attached to the character of Rory Gilmore. Did you have a lot of strong opinions about the men that she dated?
Yeah, 100%.
What team are you on?
I am fully Team Logan. Like, good. There is no question. I knew I liked you. No question. I love Jess as, like, a character.
Yeah.
And, like, I can appreciate him for who he is. But the people – no offense, Tara, if you're a Jess ride or die.
I'm a Jess girly, but I'm a Jess girly because I loved him when I was 12. Like, okay. I loved him when I was 12. I had no concept of relationships or men or, like, toxic men or anything like that. As a woman in my 30s, I can appreciate Team Logan so much because I get it.
Yeah, like everyone who's Team Jess like forgets how awful he was to her. Like,
he was a terrible boyfriend.
He abandons her.
Yeah.
He never like leaves without saying anything. I can't imagine like anything more traumatic. He's horrible at communicating, runs away from everything, gets in trouble all the time. He's kind of a loser for a while. Like, what? I think just because he's like broody, mysterious, and like cool, and like
likes books.
Yeah.
They're like, reads.
That's why we're all like rallying around Jess. I know I've always been Team Logan, but it even surprises Bo too. We have these conversations with him. I do.
Of course. Yeah.
And he's like, what? You're Team Logan? But he doesn't seem like your type. I'm like, it's not about that. This isn't
Partner
for me.
Yeah.
This isn't a partner for me. This is a partner for Rory.
There are a lot of people who are Team Jess because they love Jess.
I think
for them.
It has to be.
Less
because they saw how he treated her. How could you say like, yeah, Jess and Rory should end up together? What?
I think that when he comes back in season 6 and he's like, why did you drop out of Yale, and kind of like knock some sense into her, I think that also is like the redemption arc for Jess Mariano, where they're like, oh, okay, he's gone through growth, he cares,
so he cares,
but that
a little
necessarily
therefore
mean that they should be together, you know, like, what I mean,
just because he cares that she dropped out of school doesn't make him a great person. Like,
that's fair. Touche. Exactly. I will say though that his character arc and Paris Geller's character arc are two of the strongest on the show. You watch them from beginning to end and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's on growth.
No, I really like Paris. I don't like what they did to her at the end either.
Oh, in the revival?
Yes.
Yeah, with her and Doyle.
Yeah, like what? Why?
I know.
Just can't you just let us be happy? Like,
I know. Let us be happy. Not Amy Sherman-Palladino. Will not let
because we're all inherently evil, apparently. It feels very like Puritan-y. Like, it feels like very like back in the day, you know?
Yeah. It's the Salem witch trials.
Yeah. I don't even remember what the paper was, but it was an interview that she gave that she said that. And it's like, it's a direct quote. And I was just like, wow.
I'm not going to look that up. Like, that's scary.
Yeah. No, yeah, she's very like proudly cynical. But I do think that's like why a lot of her characters, again, are relatable, is because she doesn't necessarily write that happy ending, which is why the ending that we got, which I don't know how familiar you are with the like lore of her time on Gilmore Girls, but she left the show after season 6. Season 7 was not written by her.
Oh.
And it was because she couldn't come to an agreement with the WB, she and her husband. And so they left the show after season 6. So season 7, if you watch it, is very different and not the vision she had. So the reason that she came back and did the revival was because she never got to end her own show. So the ending that we get in the revival is actually the ending she intended for the original series, where Rory and Lorelai are sitting and it's like, mom, yes, I'm pregnant. And that's the end. So she was supposed to get pregnant back when she was like 22 years old, less when she was 32 when we watched the revival in 2016.
Yeah.
Because
another reason she left is she wanted to season 7 and 8. And they said no, actor contracts were going to end after 7 and they'd have to renegotiate.
And there was a likelihood that in that renegotiation that those actors would probably negotiate more money for themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the network wanted to guarantee that.
Wow.
At least that's the insinuation. That's what's been.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm happy for her that she got to complete her art because that's important.
So
like important. That's I would imagine like she spent so many years just feeling like there was a piece of her that like was missing and not and gone. So that makes me appreciate the revival or whatever you would call it.
Yeah,
the last revival. Year. That makes me appreciate it more because that it meant so much to her to finish what she started.
Oh, yeah.
I just wish that she didn't want to end it that way.
That's the thing. You don't have to love
it. We feel the exact same way.
It's just we feel the same way that we appreciate the fact that she was able to come back and complete it. That's so special. And I can't imagine like leaving my baby that I built from the ground up to somebody else because the network wouldn't give me what I asked for.
For sure. That's depressing. That's sad.
So sad. Yeah. And then like being able to come back 8 years later and like reunite with all these people in this world that you built like is so, I get like chills just thinking about it. And when we were watching it in real time, it has to be so different for someone who watches the series in completion and then immediately goes into the revival. Mm-hmm. For us, like we waited so long.
Yeah.
And
I watched all season 7 finale live.
Yeah.
And then waited 9 years.
That is so. So then how did you feel watching it then 9 years later?
I immediately started crying.
I mean, I saw the whole.
When
the Lalas happen and you see the people split and Lorelai's sitting there on the gazebo and it's snowing, I'm thinking about how I'm getting emotional. Like, it is so beautiful. But also, like, speaking of the first moment to the last moment, I will never forget watching that last moment and being like, that's it? Where's the rest of it? Mm-hmm. I jaw on the floor. Like, I sat there for, like, a whole minute being like, what just happened?
Yeah, like, still
and it
no
took
answers.
A minute to, like, sink in and be like, that's the end. That's the end. Because it's such a cliffhanger. And it implies that there's like this cycle restarting, right? Like the implication is that Rory is now pregnant. She's potentially going to be a single mom and Logan is the father of this baby. There's no question. I don't even know why there's discourse on it. There are people like, oh, it could be the Wookiee. Oh, maybe she slept with Jess. I'm like, no, Logan is the father of the baby.
Fucking Wookiee.
Not the Wookiee.
Oh my God.
Also, the math doesn't math.
But also, why did they do that to Rory with the Wookiee? Like, what? Seriously?
What?
Like, come
so
on.
Weird. Also, how did that, like, technically work? Because she said it was in the costume. Like, so that. Yeah, like, that other was questions just, about that, too.
Why? They did her dirty with that.
Also, like, and we love musicals, but the musical we could have pared down on that musical.
Wait,
to really flesh out.
I had forgotten about that. I must have just like blocked it out.
It's like, a very odd.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I love Sutton Foster, Christian Borle, who did the musical. Like, it's a fun concept. It went on a little too long, and I think we could have fleshed out a lot more. Like, I think we could have fleshed out, like, Lane's storyline maybe a little bit more in the revival.
Yeah.
Don't love what happened to her.
I don't love that she
ended up with Zach.
Me neither. He's so annoying.
He is the biggest man-child. Like,
I know.
The worst choice after Dave Rogowski.
They could have brought Adam Brody back. They could have done something. Could have been a lot of fun. Or she could have gone off and, like, again, like, speaking of
life,
contentment, like, it's okay that she's in a small town. It's okay that she plays in a local band with her husband. Like, those things are great. But I don't know. I think we wanted a little bit more for Lane in a partner. And then subsequently, we then are, like, bummed out that that's the person she's, like, settled down with, having kids with. And he's going off. He leaves at the end of season 7, right, to go be in, like, a band. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll come with you and stuff. And she's not doing it. And that kind of bums me out. So there's,
I think it's the fact that, like, yes, she might say she's content, but, like, you can tell she's not. You can tell she's not. And this isn't what she wanted. She didn't want twins at a young age. Like, it's not what she wanted. And so she's just trying to
make the most of it.
Yeah, make the most of what she has. And that's just kind of what makes it just be like, oh, wow. You know, what's kind of,
I want to go back to you being Team Logan, actually, and how you felt about, like, the progression of their relationship. Like, he proposed to her. She should have said yes.
So annoying.
Like, just do you think she should have said yes?
Yeah, I do. I think she should have said yes. I think she was a he was a great boyfriend to her. He communicated well. Like, he tried to be he listened. He like fixed problems like when she brought it to his attention. You know, he didn't run from it. He wasn't aggressive. Like, just you could tell he really loved her and he cared for her. And like, he made sure she was taken care of. And I just, you know, I just really wanted them to end up together. I mean, I know. Do I think they should have gotten married like really young? No, but like, what's wrong with remaining engaged for a long time? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
No, say yes and then like have a 5-year engagement.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
When she said no and I watched that live, that's like a core memory for me. I like sat in the chair for like an hour afterwards, just like completely overcome that like they were over and that the next episode was the end of Gilmore Girls. And then to come back 10 years later and they're having an affair and they're not together.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I did not like it. I loved it. I loved that he was in her life because I like him.
Of course.
I'm like not the biggest fan of like shadiness and lies and affairs. Like those storylines are never my favorite in any show or any movie. I just like it's triggering, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like betrayal. Yeah. So to see that like Rory is just like doing that, it was just not my favorite. Not my favorite at all.
Yeah.
And if they like each other so much, if they like each other so much to like continue having an affair and make time for each other, what's the deal? Get back together
then. Yeah, totally.
It feels like more of an effort to have the affair because he lives in London, she lives in the US, and like that's so hard. That's like you're putting in the work.
Yes.
Why not be together?
Might as well just be together.
Yeah. Yeah. It begs the question for me of what Amy had planned for season 7 and 8. And if that was kind of always what she saw being their end game, was like, they're not going to end up together for whatever reason, but they're going to continue to have a relationship together, kind of the same way that Christopher and Lorelai have this back and forth.
Another
but that's
one
kind
I don't
of
like.
The setup, right? It's the setup of like Lorelai has this guy who grew up in the same kind of like silver spoon in their mouth, kind of they were raised together, right? But she was always kind of like, I don't know. You know, it sounds like she was the one who was a little bit like, until you change, I'm not going to be with you. Mm-hmm. And then he's
always
kind of
a great
always
way to start a relationship. Which
is a great way. But he's always lingering in the background. Like the parallels there, of course, are that like Rory and Lorelai are both kind of drawn to people that understand them. And I think Logan understood Rory and Chris understood Lorelai. But then they end up, and for a lot of people in the fandom, they believe that maybe Jess is her Luke. And that's kind of the
I think that's just that's an easy thing to say.
But it's
I think
very
that's easy
too.
That's
easy.
Like very easy.
Yeah. Because I think the distinction between Chris and Logan, because people say like if you like Logan, you have to like Chris.
No.
I feel like the way that you're talking about they both know, like Chris knows Lorelai and Logan knows Rory. I think the difference is that Logan knows how to take care of Rory. He knows what to do with the information.
Chris doesn't
like,
know. Love that
Chris
you
doesn't
said
know.
It.
Chris doesn't know what to do with it.
That makes so much sense. I have never liked Chris. I won't watch the episodes where they're like back together. It like
when they get married.
It gives me married. The ick. It's what? Like I hated all of that. Like hated. Not one part of me found that enjoyable. I just
again,
like
again season 7.
From the beginning.
Wasn't written by the original writer. I don't think it would have happened.
Chris was just like not, I thought he was selfish and just like not that smart, not clever at all and reckless and not interesting enough to be reckless. At least Jess is like kind of interesting. So like, fine, like I'll give you, I'll give you that. But like Chris is just kind of like a loser. You know what I mean? Yes, he becomes successful, but he still gives me loser energy. Like a loser, like it doesn't matter how much money you have or how successful you are. You still are kind of like a loser.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
The one thing we give them. No.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense. Like, the one thing that we give them on this podcast is that David and Lauren, the actors who played them, had so much chemistry. And I think that's what even kept anybody remotely interested in the possibility of them being together. Like I didn't ship them necessarily, but I understood it in season 2 when they were like maybe getting back together and like then she gets pregnant and everything. Obviously, you want her with Luke, but like you also kind of when you know it's what she wants, you kind of want it for her, right? It's like she wants to be with Chris. She feels like he's kind of stepping up to the plate, showing up a little bit more. And I want her to be happy. So I'm like, if this is what's going to make her happy, I want that for her, this character.
In the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. But
not when they actually got on.
No.
No. No. And like, she could not tell, she didn't even want it. She was like recoiling. Like, no.
I know.
Like, why did we do this?
I know.
Why'd we have to experience that?
It genuinely was that is why I want to know what Amy would have had planned, because the season seven writers are the ones who took us in that direction, and all power to them. It's not to like shit on them. They're like, they were just there to do a job and kind of carry like this torch that they were like, our leader isn't here anymore. What do we do? You know, but I really wonder how she would have handled, because Amy was the one who wrote Lorelai sleeping with Chris at the end of season six when she gives Luke that ultimatum. That's what she wrote. And I would love to know where she planned on taking that. Because I don't think she would have taken it in the direction of Lorelai and Chris getting back together, getting married, going to Paris. Lorelai getting married without Rory there.
Yeah.
It just all happen. Of it.
And like, that was her father. Like, why was he suggesting that? Yeah. Like, it's not like it was a new guy who's like, well, it's my stepdaughter. I don't care. That's your daughter too.
Not your sure child.
What?
I'm really excited for you to like, in your rewatch, hopefully this fall, to like go into seven knowing that it was written by different writers.
Yeah.
I think that you'll catch the vibe, because we kind of like, our opinion of the show kind of stops at six. We call seven really expensive fan fiction that we like, you know, pull in sometimes to reference, but we really just consider like the first six like the core of the show.
Now I just feel so much better about the fact that I just didn't like season seven. So now I'm like, okay, there's a reason.
Yeah, you are not alone. You are not alone. We're actually, we're in the middle of season five. Like, we just watched the Emily and Richard vow renewal episode.
Oh, yeah. We have a rewatch on our Patreon. Good.
And so we just rewatched it, and we're kind of like now at the beginning of Rory and Logan's relationship, and like Luke and Lorelai kind of falling apart, coming back together. But we know where we're headed. And I am very interested to watch with a discerning eye, instead of just having it on because it's my comfort show, season seven, because I'm going to have so many thoughts that I probably have never thought before. I'm like an early seasons girly. That's also why I gravitate towards Jess. It's very nostalgic for me to watch like seasons one through three, four. I don't really watch the later seasons as much.
That makes sense too.
Right?
Also, can we just like, we haven't even mentioned Dean, how much he sucks too.
Oh, Stassi, we have merch. Dean Sucks merch.
Oh, yeah.
It just says Dean Sucks in like Barbie font.
Our first episode was like about how much we don't like Dean.
No, our very first episode was how he was her most toxic boyfriend. That was where I first went viral on TikTok, was because I was like, can we talk about how Dean was Rory's most toxic boyfriend? Everybody was like, oh my God, yes. But then other people were like, he was perfect. And I'm like, he was not. He was awful. And watching the way it, like, growth is...
No.
Hello? Like, but even before that, like the jealousy and the like possessiveness, and he was just fighting with everyone.
And insecure.
Like, and that's being a teenager, right? And a lot of people made that argument. Toxic.
That's the
teenager.
Only thing we give him.
That's the only thing we give him.
But like he remained a piece of shit later on too. So like, we don't need to give him anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. And we never will again.
And that's on that.
And that's on Dean.
Do you have a favorite episode? Like one that like you like really gravitated towards, or like a couple?
I think I would have to go back and rewatch, because I only did that one big watch like 10 months ago or whatever. But I have gone back and like rewatched like the first couple of episodes, because just to put it on like when I like need background. So it's like those two are just like the ones that I've seen multiple times. I would need to do a rewatch, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, fall is upon us. You gotta. It's the perfect time.
I know. It really is.
Yeah. And it'll be perfect because your book has just come out. You can kind of breathe a little easy and celebrate with a Gilmore Girls rewatch.
Yes. I'll go back home. Like, I'll have my book tour. Well, when this airs, I'll be on it. Then I can go home, chill out, get in my cozies, light the pumpkin candle, and just like get on with it.
Oh, it's just so good. I'm so excited for you to watch it again. There's like, I'm so jealous that, especially as like a grown adult, you got to experience Gilmore Girls for the first time, because we talk about this a lot, that like, of course we love that we've loved this show for a long time. It's nostalgic for a lot of us, but there's just a feeling of watching a show and getting invested in it for the first time and not knowing where it's going and not knowing like what twists and turns are coming up. That is so
cool.
I know.
I'm so glad you got to experience that at such a special time.
No, I do feel blessed. I really do. Like, blessed to have experienced that as like a 35-year-old. But like, what would I have been like if I had seen it in high school? You know, like that.
Yeah.
I will never know. I could. Yeah. I could have a completely different career. I could be living in a completely different place. I wouldn't have my kids maybe. Because I would have chosen something else.
When we started getting to the book and I learned your kids' names, I was like, oh my God, was Hartford the one that she had when she was watching Gilmore Girls? But then I realized she was your first child.
No, yeah. But once I started watching Gilmore Girls with her and she kept hearing Hartford come up, she was like, Hartford. I'm like, oh, this is so cute.
Yeah, she's going to love it. She already does. But like she's going to grow up with Gilmore Girls, which I think is so cool.
I know.
That's really important.
Yeah. Do you think when she gets older, we'll like sit down and watch the whole thing together again?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. Which I'm sure will change your perspective too, like watching it with her, like as the Lorelai to her Rory, if you will.
I know. Oh my gosh. So like, good. It makes me like feel, get in my feelings. Yes.
I know. That's so special.
Well, speaking of, I realized that we never really even talked that much about Emily, who you said was your favorite character. We never really touched on her all that much.
Because she doesn't suck. You know, when we talk about people, we normally like to talk about their flaws. And yeah, yeah. Emily, I see zero.
Yeah.
I see none.
How do you feel about her relationship with Richard?
I liked it because I felt like it was really honest. You know, it wasn't, we didn't see just that stereotypical, our grandparents never fight, stay together forever. Like, I liked that we saw them kind of fall apart for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciated that.
Definitely. Us too. We had a conversation about this recently with another guest we had on that they were like, oh, I didn't like that they fell apart. And I was like, they kind of needed to. We need to see that. We needed to see that they weren't perfect. And we had already seen the flaws in their marriage and in who they were as people. But we needed to see that like not every marriage is going to like constantly feel like this smooth moving machine.
Right.
They had their moment. They fell apart a little bit. I don't think any of us believed that they would never get back together.
No,
he was in the
course.
Pool house. He was like 10 yeah. feet away. But them getting back together and seeing that, like how they reunite, I think we needed that. They needed
yes.
that.
Yes. I loved that.
Knowing that you don't love betrayal, how did you feel about the whole situation where he was having lunch for the entirety of their marriage with one of his exes?
Penelin Lott.
Without Emily knowing.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
the one I buried. It's like crazy what you choose to remember and what you choose to forget. If I remember correctly, though, it wasn't like there was nothing inappropriate going on, though.
It wasn't nefarious. It was just that he didn't tell her for like 40 years.
No, which is fucked up.
Like, how would you feel if Bo just like one day you found out that he was having lunch with his ex and just like didn't tell you?
I can't even like put myself in that situation because like could never happen. Yeah. Like, with smartphones and all that shit. Like, I just like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You have his location.
Yeah. Like, how? I just like, we know where each other is. What? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like, I can't even put myself in that position because I couldn't imagine him lying to me like that.
Right?
Which
is amazing. I love that for you.
Thank you.
That's why I think Emily was just like, how do I move on? Like, how do I get over that? And he was like, what's the big deal? And she's like, that's a huge deal. And she did try to move past it for a while until she couldn't. And I understand. That's a big betrayal.
Yeah.
I know that nothing like inappropriate was necessarily going on, but it still feels like
it's
not like cheating.
No, yes, it does. And it feels like an emotional kind of cheating, even though it technically wasn't. What was his excuse?
He's like, we're just friends. We're just friends. She didn't tell Steven, her husband. And it's like, he just kind of brushed it off as if like, yeah, we've been getting together. It's like, well, if it wasn't a big deal, why didn't you tell her?
So I just want y'all to clarify this for me because I'm like, not all of it is very clear. Every single week for 40 years.
No, once a year.
Oh, okay. I don't know
once
why
a year
I just
for
thought
because
I'm like, can why am imagine? I not remembering every?
That
part
would be
of it?
So much.
No.
Yeah,
every
oh,
year.
Oh, once a year for 40 years.
Will life catch up?
That's interesting,
right?
Well, I can't believe I don't remember this part that well.
Yeah, it was at the football game.
Yes,
the Yale game.
I'm really trying to imagine how I would feel, like, because I don't see anything wrong with it, with catching up with your ex, but it's the fact that he didn't tell her. Just that he hit. Why not? Yeah, like, yeah. Why not tell her?
And they were engaged before they got engaged. Like, Emily was kind of, like, messed.
You know, it probably just, like, he did it once when it would have been inappropriate. The timing would have been inappropriate. And then, like, the next year, they did it again. He's like, well, I can't tell her now because, like, I already did it. And then the lie got too big, and then it became the thing. So he's like, well, now I, like, can't tell her. It's been 6 years. Well, now it's been, like, so might as well just keep this a secret, you know? I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just trying to.
No. It's a train of thought. You want to put yourself in the mindset of the person and be like, what were you thinking? Because
yeah,
I think that Emily and Richard are villainized a lot. And I think that as we've gotten older, we've understood them a little bit more, similarly to like a lot of the characters on this show and how our opinions have changed since when we were kids. Because when we were kids and watching the show, it's like Lorelai saying her parents weren't great people. You were kind of like, yeah, I'm a kid. And sometimes I'm mad at my parents. Like, you can kind of identify with it. But then when you're an adult and you're like, oh, no, they're really not that bad. They're just trying to have a relationship.
Oh, no, I've never understood because I didn't watch it when I was in high school. So, like, yeah. I never got the hate for the parents, for Emily and Richard. Like, I've only ever thought, like, oh, I would love to have you guys as parents.
I would love thousands of dollars in exchange for a martini.
Right? The only time that I, like, get it, there are a handful of times. Like, in the pilot, the way that Richard talks about Christopher in front of Lorelai, I would hate that if my parents were, like, talking about my daughter's father, who I know is kind of a loser. Mm-hmm. And, like, anytime he says that he's doing really well at something, I'm like, are you really? I don't know if you are. And to hear my father be like, oh, you must take after your father. How's the motel? You know, to her when, like, Lorelai's very successful and runs an inn and, like, has made a name for herself. That, and then when Emily goes to Christopher and is, like, gives him the invitation to the vow renewal and is like, you need to have your final shot with Lorelai. She shouldn't be with this guy, Luke. And Christopher comes in and kind of, like, fuck shit up.
Okay.
Correct. Those are the moments.
I was going to ask. Because you said she was flawless, which I don't agree with. I love her. But, like, I was going to ask you how you feel about the way that she meddles in Lorelai's relationship.
Because
made me laugh, though, is because when you were talking about Chris, it was, like, the exact way that Emily talks about Chris to him. When he was like, you're kind of weak and I've never thought much of you.
I forgot that she did that because I just, like, choose to just, like, see the good in Emily.
Of course. I wasn't. No, when we love a character, especially they're, like, a comfort character, we talk about this a lot with Logan, with Jess. It's, like, sometimes you're just, like, I choose to see these things.
Yeah. That's our problem is, like, we have to, like, almost have, like, two minds about the show now of, like, our diehard cherry-picked opinions where we, like, absolutely love this character regardless, and then where we come to the podcast and we break them down.
Yeah, for sure. I don't. You guys have a tough job.
We hard something we love.
For real.
The thing is, though, is that, like, it's because we've been watching it for so long. It's just, like, second nature. It's just ingrained in there where, like, it, you know, I can, like, pull it out. Like, we've Scott Patterson, who plays Luke, has a podcast, and I'm able to, like,
disassociate
almost because I've known the show for so long that I'm like, you are Luke and then you are Scott. And I am able to, like, disconnect the two.
What does he talk about?
He talks about the show. He talks about, like, goes episode by episode.
What?
He had never watched the show
before.
Oh,
you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. So he's never watched the show before.
They're in season 7.
Yeah. He's had it for, like, a little over 3 years now.
Do we think that they would ever make another one?
We hope not.
Do you want another one?
I would.
Like, would you want to?
Because even when something's bad, I'll still take it. Like, this, it's like how I feel about Sex and the City and just like that. It's like the worst show ever, but I'll still take it.
It's so bad, but I'll take as much as I can get.
I'll take it. Like,
when you were talking about her holding Big as he was dying, and then I was just like, that episode made me so angry.
Yeah, everything about it.
I just was, like, jaw on the floor, like, what the fuck just happened?
It was crazy. When Carrie Bradshaw then asks and wonders whether Big was a big mistake, like, are you? What is wrong with you, lady? Like, what is wrong with you? You took us through this whole journey, years and years and years of your love story.
We had to watch you die on Aiden.
Yes. Yes. For him to then die. And then for you to wonder if that whole journey that we all went on was for nothing, was just a mistake. Get out of here.
I know. Yeah.
Tara also has a Sex and the City podcast.
I do. I do. Okay. Where we're going episode by episode and we're answering Carrie's questions from the perspective of 2024 because, like, it's been 25 years and, like, the city is still very, it's very different, but it's also the same.
Yeah. So that was the show I watched my first pregnancy. I mean, I'd already seen it a million times, but
yes, I saw that in your book. I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of whether or not they're going to do another one, we kind of hope they don't because we're just like, you know what? Let's leave this alone. Amy ended it the way she wanted to, though I would love to watch it.
Oh, I would devour it.
Would you prefer a prequel of Emily and Richard, a la like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, or a second revival?
Can I have both? What's
wrong? Sure, you can have both.
You can have it all.
What? Yeah, you can have it all. In this scenario, you can.
I choose both.
Wouldn't that be fun to watch?
I 100% choose both. Yes. Yeah. I'd really like to watch that.
I'd love to see a prequel. I love a prequel. Yeah. Like, prequel always just, I don't know, just makes me
happy.
So
do I. House of the Dragon, I'm obsessed.
My boyfriend's watching, he calls it The Dragon Show. And he loves it. They're having so much fun. I did not watch Game of Thrones, so I haven't watched it with him. But I have to. That's going to be my, like, one of my next shows.
What do you mean?
I know.
I feel the same way.
I missed the train.
What were you doing when the rest of the world was watching Game of... Like, what were you doing on Sunday nights?
I was watching Gilmore Girls. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I have to get into it, and I love a prequel. That's why I loved Wicked so much when I was a kid, because I grew up watching The Wizard of Oz. So when Wicked came out, I was like, this is amazing. So I think I would really love seeing a prequel of either, like, Lorelai growing up, or like her early days in Stars Hollow.
I don't think I want that. I think I want Emily.
You want the Emily and Richard.
And Richard.
That's what I lean more towards. It would be exciting to see the two of them meet and get Pennell in law. And like maybe she's a character in the show. Like that would be so, so fun.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get on it.
Oh, let's do it. Here we go. We're going to
call the agents.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. But my last question for you is, you kind of broke down, you talked a lot about motherhood, which I really loved, and you broke down kind of different stereotypes of moms, which I also loved. If there was a mom character in Gilmore Girls that you really like wanted to be best friends with, who do you think you would align most with? Who would be like your mom bestie from Gilmore Girls? Because there are a lot of different moms on the show. You got Emily, you got Mrs. Kim, you got Lorelai, you've got Suki. You end up having Lane. You know, there are so many different types and they are all different kinds of moms. But who would be like your best friend who you would kind of make you feel like
you commiserate with?
Honestly, I keep going back to Emily. I mean, we obviously have like a big age gap, but like I thought she seems like a great conversationalist. She's clever. Her humor's dark. Like she's not like a sunny person. And I just like, I like people that are kind of like a little rough like that. It's not like she's rough. Yeah. That's not the right word. There's something just like cynical about her that's, I just appreciate her. And the way she talks, she's just like so frank and so she's not trying to be anything that she's not. Like, you know what you're getting with Emily. Like, totally. I would know exactly what I was getting. I would know what to expect and I'd look forward to it.
Yeah.
I love Suki too.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I love Suki. Like, I would love to have her as a friend.
Yeah, she'd make great snacks. It's
Suki
true.
Would be a great friend to have. So Suki, me, Suki, and Emily, if we could just be like this little threesome,
we'd be unstoppable. What a trio. Genuinely.
Unstoppable. We should start a podcast.
I love that. That would be perfect. Stassi, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys. This was so fun.
Oh my gosh. I know. Again, when I read that you wanted women and moms in your life who could talk to you about Gilmore Girls for 40 minutes, I was like, can do.
Here we are.
Not a mom. I have a cat. That's about it. But can do. I love it. You are welcome back anytime to talk about Gilmore Girls, especially once you do your rewatch again. If you have other thoughts, let us know. But in the meantime, Stassi's book is available now. You can't have it all. I'm so excited for y'all to read it. It is such a great, easy read. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just like, feels like you're talking to a friend and it's so relatable. And
thank you.
It's available now.
Thanks, guys.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday!
Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.